Welcome to the Faith Element podcast for the August 11th session, focusing on Luke 12, 32 through 40. People, get ready. I'm Crystal Shepherd.
I'm Nikki Hardiman.
I'm Bert Montgomery.
And I'm Daniel Glaze.
Well, I guess you all have noticed that I am not David. He's away for this episode, and he is once again trusting us to do this together. I think he probably knows the chaos that would ensue, so I'm glad he's trusting us. And David, we look forward to you returning in a few weeks. So I have a question. Summertime is winding down, and it's back to school time. So I'm wondering what your favorite summer memory might be. So it could be when you're a kid or even this summer. What would be like your favorite memory of the summer?
Homemade ice cream.
Oh, that's always so good.
It's my favorite part of summer. Homemade ice cream and lightning bugs. I'm a country girl at heart.
Nice.
Homemade ice cream is the best.
It's so good. I haven't even had any this summer. I need to fix that.
And when that coincides with the peaches being just right.
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry. That's just awful to do.
Now, can we hit pause and
exactly.
go get like...
peach ice cream. Yeah.
I had some really good family vacations growing up and have fond memories of time just with family when I was growing up and trying to give time with family with my kids and my wife when my kids were growing up as family time.
Yeah, Bert, I'd have to say the same. I mean, I'm grateful that I've got two kids who more or less get along pretty well, and so those family vacations are a lot of fun. Growing up with my father was a pastor, so we vacationed wherever the Southern Baptist Convention happened to be held.
Right, yeah.
You know, so it's nice to actually now have some agency over where we can take some family vacations and have some fun with that.
Oh yeah,
but yeah.
Well, mine's probably, I lived in a small town, and so for me, it was just being outside for, like, extended periods of time. So I was just an outdoors kid, run barefoot around in the yard, climb trees. We had an old gas tank that, like a propane tank, that those big round ones that we would climb up on it and jump off of it, and we attached a slide to the tree and would slide. I don't know. That's a wonder we weren't hurt like all the time. But those were like my favorite memories. We even have like pictures that one day my mom just went outside with us and she told us just to like have fun and act crazy. And so there's all these fun pictures of my brother and me like, you know, doing weird like cartwheels and stuff like that. So that's probably my favorite. Well, Daniel, could you get us started today with our conversation?
Sure. So reading this passage reminds me of a story I once heard. Fellow pastor Brett Younger tells about the time he went to a Baptist denominational meeting a few years back held in Washington, D.C. He and his wife Carol stayed an extra day to do some sightseeing, and he said it must have been one of the hottest days on record. They had finished a tour of the Capitol building, and they had walked the length of the National Mall. Brett says, "We had walked either 2 or 10 miles, depending on which one of us you ask, and at what moment." Brett said, "Carol, would we rather go to the National Archives and be moved by the Declaration of Independence, to the National Portrait Gallery to see inspiring paintings, or to that McDonald's over there to buy a couple of ice-cold Cokes?" Asked later which one he chose, Brett replied, "Those Cokes were really cold." Have you ever had that feeling of making a poor choice but not caring one lick about it? Many of us know that feeling too well. But Brett says now he regrets that decision because, quote, "Life is too short to miss the Declaration of Independence." Yes, life is too short. Life is too short to fret over the things we cannot change. Life is too short to always go back to what was, that we miss what is. Life is too short to eat microwave pizza. Life is too short to not take that vacation. Life is too short to worry over all the weeds in your flower beds. Life is too short to worry what other people think. Life is too short to accumulate all you can and keep it to yourself. Life is too short to refuse to forgive. I once led a funeral service for a former church member who had passed away. She left behind two adult children, a son and a daughter. It's a good thing the church had that center aisle because the son's family sat on one side and the daughter's family sat on another. Life is too short to hold on to petty disagreements. Jesus' disciples are running around like they have forever, worrying about the wrong things, chasing those things which will never satisfy, preoccupied with so many details that they forget why they dropped everything to follow Jesus in the first place. But Jesus knows that life is too short. I think that's why he tells us in this section not to be afraid. He tells us God has given us everything, even life itself, so there's no reason to be fear. So be generous. Give to the poor. Invest in God's work, and in doing so, you'll make deposits in a bank that will never need a bailout. Because where you put your treasure, that's where you most want to be. Spend it on yourself, and that's where your heart is. Spend it on others, especially the poor and the marginalized, your heart will be there. What's more, you'll find God there too. So that's section one of this passage of Scripture. In verse 35, Jesus seems to take a right turn that at first glance has nothing to do with the previous section. He then tells a parable of servants who await their master's return from a banquet. And when this master returns, much to the servant's surprise, he prepares and serves a meal for them. He does this because he finds his servants awake and alert upon his return. And many folks will say that Jesus seems to be saying here that we always need to be watching, always on high alert. But I have to tell you, that sounds exhausting to me. Is that what Jesus wants from us? This red level alert, always on alert, always scouting the traces of God like a beagle with his nose to the sidewalk? Or is God asking us to, in the words of Eugene Lowry, position ourselves to be surprised? I like that latter interpretation. Let us live as those who position ourselves to be surprised by a God who turns our expectations upside down, a Christ who came to serve rather than be served. So maybe these two sections aren't at odds at all. Maybe when we realize that life is too short to worry about things outside of our control and instead put our trust in God, we engage in that posture that positions ourselves to be surprised. Surprised to find that when we lead lives of generosity and service to the poor, to the outcast, and place our treasure and our hearts there, that's also where we find God. And that's a little background on our text for today.
Daniel, you did a great job with a whole lot of text. Right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm sitting here, for those who listen to us, we have great editors. A lot of times, after the person gives the background text, we sit in silence for a few minutes to consider our response, and sometimes those silences are longer than others. And I have been sitting here thinking about your comments and how well you wove all of these seemingly disconnected texts together. And it got me thinking, we've been in Luke for a long time. Mm-hmm. We've been doing Luke, I think this is week 8, and we've got 3 more to go. So I was thinking about kind of our journey through Luke and how nearly at every turn, what it feels a little bit like we're learning is that the gospel, when it is lived out, doesn't look like the way we would build it. Mm-hmm. I had a professor one time who said, we were talking about some deeper issues and some faith questions and is God real and those kinds of things. And he said, the way that I know this stuff is real is because when I read scripture, I know that's not how I would write it.
Mm. Wow.
You know, love your enemy, sell all of your possessions. These things are not things that we are innately driven to do. And they're things that we have to practice at and work at. And so I think that's why I love that you took the first 2 verses and that's where you spent a lot of your time. But it was that we are, that a lot of the things that get in the way of us really being prepared and growing in our full potential as followers of Christ, living into that fully, is our worry and our anxiety, that need to hold on to things, that need to prepare, that need to have control. I don't know. I feel like I am not at all doing justice to what you talked about, Daniel, but I'm feeling these connections to the Gospel of Luke and kind of what we've been talking about for the last several weeks.
Yeah, Nikki, what you said resonated with me because I was thinking as you were speaking, Daniel, and that I was looking back over the scripture and I was thinking about like when I first encountered these scriptures. As a child and a teenager in a small Southern Baptist church, and I was afraid, and it was that idea of having to have control. Like it felt like everything was so out of control when Jesus is saying be prepared and be on alert, and it felt scary because it was all pitched in this idea that this is about when Jesus is coming back and you don't want to get caught. And
Jesus is good. What if Jesus comes back and finds you where you are? You don't want to be there when Jesus, right? You don't want to be
exactly
at the store. You don't want to be at that event. You don't want,
right?
You don't want to be there when Jesus comes. And so it's this whole guilt thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Guilt and worry. And I just love that you just named it, Daniel, about, you know, that's too much. Like to feel like you have to be on alert all the time. Like that's overwhelming. And I'm probably not making a whole lot of sense right now, but it's all kind of like meshing for me that like there was such this idea of worry and guilt, like Bert said, and I don't want to speak for Jesus, but I don't think that's maybe what Jesus was intending for us. Like I wonder how the listeners and the disciples heard this. You know, we have all these thousands of years after and diagnosable conditions like anxiety and things like that play into this. But I wonder how they heard that. I wonder if it seemed like so much pressure to them, or it just seemed like, yeah, we need to keep watch because you're going to be back at some point. You know, I mean, I don't know. I'm not making a whole lot of sense right now, I don't think, because I'm externally processing it.
No, Crystal, I hear what you're saying, and that's, excuse me, that's a lot of what I was trying to say here. I remember it was probably a year after September 11 happened, and I was at the airport, and you know, we don't pay a whole lot of attention to it anymore, but at that time we certainly did. Mm-hmm. The the levels of readiness or the I don't remember what the scale was, but red was like another attack is imminent, and right. orange and yellow going on down the spectrum. And I remember talking to one of the security agents there, TSA agents, I guess, and I said, almost offhandedly, "You think it'll ever go back to green again?" Mm-hmm. And he said, "Oh no, it'll never go to green again." Mm-hmm. And I thought, "Oh, this." Now I know what he's saying, and he was right. But that kind of always alert, always looking out for someone who can harm us, or always, you know, on the lookout for something to happen is just exhausting. And I don't know that that's how Jesus is asking us to live. That doesn't sound a whole lot like abundant life. Mm-mm. So that's why I was so taken by Eugene Lowry, who is retired now, but was a professor of preaching at St. Paul Seminary, who said, "No, it's a way of positioning ourselves to be surprised." Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is very true to what Jesus is saying, but certainly does put a different spin on how we've been taught to read this passage. It's not about scaring or fear, being fearful, but to look for those wonderful ways, I think, that God wants to surprise us all the time. When we serve others, we find that, you know, we're actually serving Christ, and that we receive our blessings ourselves. There are all kinds of ways that God surprises us day in and day out, and to live with an expectation of being surprised by the wonderful ways in which we live and move in this world, I think is a wonderful way to be, if that makes any sense.
I like that, because when you were talking, I was thinking about, so working, having had trauma myself and working with people who have been traumatized, a lot of times you have what's called hypervigilance, where constantly looking over your shoulder, you're checking the locks a million times, you're making sure that, you know, whatever that perceived threat is not going to come get you. So you're on over alert. And I love how you kind of flip that, and it's about living life and being expectant of the good things, not the scary. Jesus is not the boogeyman. You know,
right?
This is something that's good. It reminded me too of when I was going through, and I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before. I was going through Catechesis of the Good Shepherd training, and I was in my level 2 training, and we were talking about parousia, when God will be all in all. You know, for us Baptists, that's end times, right? That's when Jesus comes back, and you know, there's the tribulation, and there's all this stuff that seems so scary. And I'm sitting there with Catholic friends, and they're talking about this beautiful thing called parousia, this beautiful thing when God is all in all. And I was just floored, because their expectation was of something beautiful, and my expectation was of something terrifying. And it really struck me. I really think, like, that is no way to live, like you said, Dan, and that's not.
Yeah,
that's no way to live.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And for some reason, I don't know why I'm suddenly thinking about this now. Maybe I've considered it before, but I don't think it in this depth. But you know, when at Advent time, when we talk about the arrival of Jesus, we talk about that eager waiting, that expectation, that joyful anticipation. But when we talk about return, we suddenly go into, I think you said, boogeyman mode.
And well, it ain't baby Jesus.
So yeah, and so why in the world do we flip go from joyful expectation, or I'm going to say it again, that positioning ourselves to be surprised, to this, okay, now always be looking over your shoulder. I just don't think those two things jive.
I keep coming back to the connection you made between the first two verses and the rest of the passage, because I hadn't really thought about how Luke might have put these together on purpose, which I realize now. Okay, so, but the first two verses of our passage today are the end of a longer passage about not worrying, right? About not worrying about what we will have and where we will sleep and how we will be clothed. And it says, don't worry about those things. And then it gets to our passage for today, and it's a little bit about, it's this, get rid of things. Don't crowd yourself, right? Don't crowd your space. And so sell your possessions, give alms, think about where you're putting your treasures. And then it moves into this preparedness and ready. And I like your phrase, that you borrowed, positioning yourself to be surprised. And it seems to me that a part of what we're called to do here is to clear out and to make space in our lives. And that might be space on our calendar. It might be space in where we live, because when there's too much stuff, it creates worry and anxiety. It might be, I recently went through a little bit of a digital downsizing. I deleted a whole bunch of apps off my phone. It's created lots of space for me in my head. You know, like, I don't know. Is there a sense of part of positioning ourselves to be surprised is really about creating space to see, creating space to hear, creating space to experience? I don't know.
Well, Nikki, I like what you're saying, and I think I agree. I want to think about that more, but sure. I think in a very basic sense, I hope I'm not being overly simplistic with this, I have the imagery of you know, our holding, our grasping our fists and holding tightly to all our stuff, mm-hmm. when Christ is asking us to let that stuff go, to release it, to open our hands, mm-hmm. so that we are in a posture to receive the good gifts that Christ wants to give us. Mm-hmm. And if I have my fists clutched, I'm trying to describe this for our listeners, but if I have my fists clutched around my money, my security, my everything else, then I'm not in a position to carry, to receive, to take up anything else. Mm-hmm. That's and something better that Christ wants to give me. So I think you're right. I think Jesus is calling us to let a lot of things go, mm-hmm. so that we can be in a posture to receive that which Christ wants to bring us.
Mm-hmm. I like the image. I think it works.
Oh yeah. Well, thank you all for this wonderful conversation with a very, very difficult text. I think what struck me as I was engaging in conversation and listening is that we need to make space to hear God and to let go of things that distract or give us false security, that we need to be surprised by the influx of God's gifts and to live in joyful expectation. And as we were talking, I thought of a poem by my favorite poet, Mary Oliver. And I know she's been quoted often on the podcast, and I am sure that this poem has been used, but I would like to close with that. It's called "The Summer Day." Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean. The one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life?
Amen.
Thank you all for this good conversation.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Faith Element is a service of Faith Lab.